What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my friend DJ Big Lou 163. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Well, my title is the incredible man, DJ Big Lou 163, and I'm from the BX, South Bronx, Simpson Street.
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. Like I said, this is the My DJ Story podcast. So we want to hear your story as a DJ and use your story to help other DJs in their journey. So talk to us about the beginning days. You know, what sparked your interest to become a DJ, and walk us through your story from there on.
All right. Where can I start from? Because what really happened was I used to see people DJ all the time. It wasn't like of no big deal. But then one day I got invited to a party, and Showbiz from Showbiz and AG was DJing. I didn't know he even DJed. And there was a bunch of people in the room. I was sitting there. So he said, yo, everybody can leave the room, but homeboy right here. So I was like, oh, me? Cool. So I sat there. I seen him go off. Like, I ain't never see a DJ go off the way he did, at least at that age. I was young. And I was just like, oh, this is incredible. Then I have a homeboy, my neighborhood, he DJed. So I think I just took it from there. Like, after the Showbiz thing, you know, it really inspired me. Like, oh, this is incredible. And he was an incredible DJ. Like I said, I didn't even know he DJed. I thought he was just a rapper, honestly. And so from there, it was like, after I saw my friend Ant-Man DJing, and he's always invited me to his house. I used to see him DJ all the time. And it's funny, he never invited me to touch his stuff, but eventually I got to where I'm get my own little crinkets. Cause you know, in the beginning it was like horrible equipment, but it was still, you know, you could get to play music. And so it was a start, and then I went from there. And then yeah, I guess that's how it started for me. Like,
awesome, man.
Hey, Showbiz though, but the Showbiz inspired me. Like, it was incredible.
That's an exciting intro, man. I'm really glad that you had that spark, and it seemed like that you fell in love with it instantly, and you kind of just hit the ground running with it. So after that initial interest, you know, walk us through what happened next, and what was the next step in your journey to actually becoming a DJ?
Okay, so I guess from there, like I said, I got a little equipment here and there, and I eventually saved up to buy some Geminis. And, you know, started getting some crates, started like compiling my, you know, my collection, started just got some Geminis, started telling people I DJ, and I got this party in the next building, and I thought the floor was going to come off. Like, I thought the floor was going to fall in, like, oh, holy, oh, it was incredible. It was like my first real party, and it was incredible. And then and then it was like, it just took off from there. Like, you know, because word of mouth back in the days was everything. There was no social media, there was nothing. So that was it right there. That first party for this girl named Michelle lived right next door, like next in the next building, was just an incredible, like, yo, I couldn't, it's like a movie. I don't know, it was just incredible. Like, I didn't know what I was really doing. You know, I mean, I knew how to play. You know, I was getting there eventually, but it was still young in my career. And I was just like, wow, it was incredible, man. I can never forget that party. It was just like one of those, like, oh, like them, oh, my, like those, oh, my, you know, how you say that? Like, you know what I mean? I guess just one of those like surprise kaboom experiences. And you just go, oh, this is it for me. And then that was it. Like, that was how I went in. And
yeah, man.
That was the beginning of DJ like Big Lou. It wasn't Big Lou 163 at the time, but it was just DJ Big Lou.
Yeah, man. No, it seemed like it really changed your life, and those life-changing experiences really set you up for the future, man. And I'm glad that you know, use that experience to kind of propel you for the future of your career as a DJ. You know, talk to me, you know, this you know, life-changing moment, you know, how it changed you, what happened in you that allowed you to kind of just see this as something you want to dedicate the rest of your life to?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, because like I love music, right? And then I guess from there I just started to, like, you know, that was the mixtape era. So I was just listening to everybody, all the greats, and I started making mixtapes. I got my friend Rich Nice. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's from the A&R room from Sway in the Morning. So my man Rich Nice lived in the next building. So I was just handing my mixtapes to him. I said, I would like you to be the guy that's gonna review my tapes. Tell me what you think I need to do. Like, improve my sets, whatever I need to do. And for a while, he was just like, nope, nope, nope. And then one day it just came. Boom. He was like, okay, Lou, this is it. You're getting there. And then he gave me some life experience. He said, if you're in this for money, you're in the wrong business. He's like, you're in the wrong business. He said, but eventually you will make money. So I said, okay. I said, well, I'm not in for the money. I really love music. Like, I really love music. So the experiences of that and the mixtapes and Rich actually being like a critical person in my beginning experiences. He was just the guy. He was like, you know, because Rich Nice is an executive. He's a producer. He's a rapper. He's, you know, he's A&R room now. He's Sway in the Morning. So it was like, I was like, who better than to criticize my, you know? So I was like, who better? And he was just, and he's a good friend of mine over 30 years. And that was it right there.
Wow, man. That's super amazing. And it shows just when you have that confidence that you want to do something and pursue it, and you have a humble mindset to where you can take criticism from some of the biggest names and really use that to propel yourself as opposed to use it to deter yourself, you know, you can really make your dreams happen. It seems like you're making your dreams happen and having fun with it too, man. This is exciting. I'm super happy to be hearing your story. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about your story from that point on, okay?
Sounds good.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. I'm here with my brother DJ Big Lou 163, and we're hearing an exciting story of how he got into the game of DJing. You know, when we left off, we talked about your exciting moment where, you know, you were getting criticism from some of the biggest DJs in the game at the time, and you used it to move yourself forward. You know, from that point where you're getting recognition from these big names and you're able to move forward, you know, what did you do from there? And walk me through some of the stuff that you're doing currently in the present with your DJ career.
Okay, so from there, I started meeting some people. So I don't know how much you know about mixtape games back then. So I knew DJ Rhythm, the Music Man back in the day. So we already knew each other from, he went to the school. He used to be in junior high school right across the street from my house. So we got close, and then, you know, he started propelling, like he was doing mixtapes and he's taking off. So he started introducing me to everybody. He invited me to this thing called Hard Pack. I don't know if you ever heard of Hard Pack, where they was doing all the big DJs was coming to Rockin' Wheel. Now, you know who Rockin' Wheel is from Kid Capri? So Rockin' Wheel, these do this thing called Hard Pack, where every DJ was in the room. Everybody was in that one room, and everybody had like a 10-minute, 15-minute segment to make a mixtape. And so I used to go with Rhythm. Well, Rhythm invited me the first time. I met the legendary Showtime. And then from there, he took me on. But I was going to Hard Pack, and was incredible. Let me tell you the incredible stuff about this. This is like one of the most incredible stories. I'm in this room with like SNS, Ron G. I mean, you name it. Showtime, you name it. All the hot DJs from the mixtape game. And so I'm just practicing. Because, you know, they let everybody do whatever they want to do before it started. So I was just practicing, you know. And Rockin' Wheel was like, yo, we like Lou. He's gonna set the intro off. He's gonna set the tape off. And I was like, what? Y'all don't even know who I am. They was like, no, you're gonna start this. And so it was incredible. I was like, oh, I'm gonna start this. I was like, you know, and I'm nervous. I'm in front of all these names. I'm a nobody. I'm in front of all these names. And it was just like, oh, all right, you know what? Let's do it. I did the first one. They invited me to every one of them ever, you know, after that. And
wow,
that was incredible right there. Like, when I would tell you, it was incredible, because I ain't even gonna lie to you, I did some mixes and some big DJ stole them. At the time, they was just like, that's a dope mix. And of course, because you're not a name, they take your mix. It's like, so I wasn't mad. I was kind of like flattered, but I was like, damn, still kind of buying my stuff. But, you know, because that's how hip hop is. But it was just like, wow. But, you know, so it was, I never even heard of this rock, Hard Pack thing. So it was incredible. These are tapes they were selling like for $50. It was just all these DJs on it. Action Pack. I mean, you name it. Chill Will from the East. There was just names on top of names on top of names. They used to always go to these things. Like, not everybody was there all the time, but it was just a lot of names. Every Monday night, Oh, I think once a month. I don't remember, but it was incredible experience. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Wow, man. No, this is super exciting. And DJs, if you're listening, you know, he was able to navigate himself to the point that he's in the room with these big names and some of the top, most influential DJs at the time. And it's not easy to get yourself to that point to where you're being vouched for and put on by these people. You know, what are some of the things that you did to prepare yourself to get to that point to be in those rooms?
I mean, you know, just, I mean, doing what everybody do, practice, I guess, doing everything. And then, like I said, Rhythm was like a good friend of mine. And so when we really hooked up, he started making his mixtapes here and, you know, just getting to know everybody. And like I said, when I got to know Showtime, that was it. Like Showtime took me under the wing. He was like, come on, come to Harlem, hang out with us and come do your thing with us. And I made a few mixtapes with him. And that was an incredible experience. And, you know, and then it's a few DJs I dealt with from then and I still deal with now. So it was incredible. Like, it was an incredible experience. And then Showtime was just like, you know, he's an older brother, legendary mixtape DJ, legendary DJ career. He's a great DJ. He's still a great DJ, still do a thing. So it was incredible, man. It was incredible. Like, just from there to keep growing and then getting to know everybody, going to Harlem, then I'm starting to drop off my own mixtapes. Like, let me just start. So everybody's like, yeah, this is Big Lou, you know what I'm saying? So Action Pack used to invite me to all the guys, all the Africans. Like, yo, get his tapes. He's dope. So it was nice to get like a cosign from somebody that was already well known. It was great. Yo, get his tape. And so now I'm going downtown dropping off my tapes. Then I'm getting to know everybody. I got to know Buck Wow, and incredible, nice dude. And, you know, it was nice to, you know, just the process of moving just right along from, you know, just because I wasn't trying to be like bigger than anything. I was just, you know, just staying in my lane, getting to know everybody and enjoying it at the moment, you know, the experience. Because I was like, wow, going to Harlem and going up there alone too. And it was just like, you know, a young boy, like, oh, all right. So it was just, it was nice, man. It was nice. And so to have people buy my mixtapes, and it was an incredible feeling. I ain't even gonna lie. It was, you know, and like I said, from Rhythm to Showtime, it was right there, Showtime. And then it was just, and then, you know, he introduced me to everybody. I met everybody going down to Harlem, going to the mixtape spots. So it was nice. It was nice, man. It was a nice experience. And, you know.
Oh, man. That's exciting, brother. I can feel the excitement as if I was the one experiencing it, just coming out of you, man. And that's super powerful that you're able to experience that, man. And one thing you spoke about is the fact that you had these key people in your life that put you on to different opportunity. And that kind of speaks to the value of relationships. You know, when right. you're out there and building meaningful relationships with people that are key in the industry, and not even people that are key in the industry, because you never know who's going to become key, but just out right. there, putting yourself out there and really building meaningful relationship with people and supporting one another along the journey. That's really how a lot of success happens. You alone will never be able to just be the one that just does everything and allows yourself to elevate. You need people around you to be able to help one another so you all rise together, yes, be able to share opportunity, share experiences with each other and learn from each other. And it seems like you've done that very well over the years and have really put yourself into great spaces from networking and building cool, mm-hmm. great relationships with people.
I mean, guys, it's so many great stories, man. Like, it was just, then, you know, you start going to the labels and then you get the records and then they inviting you to parties and listening parties. And, you know, to go to a listening party and to have Puffy standing right there, and it's in a conference room after Biggie died. He made the I'm Missing You song. He's standing right there with all the scratches. He's like, you see that right there? What I was for? He's like, look at all the scratches. And he's showing you, you know, it was just incredible. It's an incredible feeling where you get to these places and you're like, wow, man. Like, I guess, you know, I don't know if I deserved it, but I worked my way up. I guess that's a perfect way to say it. You know, just going through the process, going through the lane, just, you know, building my own lane, getting to know a lot of people and going to these, like I said, these listening parties were great. And going to a listening party with my man Homicide and Ghostface and Capadonna and I forgot the other guy, and they all sitting in a table and they're like, yo, y'all want to smoke? And we sitting there, we like, what? Word? Like, okay. And my man Big O, rest in peace. And we just sat there for like in the middle of a club. All these DJs are there listening to the new stuff of Ghostface, and we sitting in the club in the middle because Ghost says sit with us and smoke with us. And we sat there for hours. I mean, I was so high. I was like, yo, I gotta go, man. Like, I thought we was here to listen to music. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I was just like, I'm in front of like legendary people in front of you, and then you having a good time. Like, if they know you, and it was, it's a lot. Like I said, man, I got a lot of like incredible stories. Like, you know, just getting to know certain people or getting to meet people. And oh, going downtown was crazy. Going to the labels, I met like everybody. Like, everybody. I remember I was walking by, I was going to Def Jam, I think, or I was going to one of the labels and met the man. Was like, we walked like this. I was like, yo, Meth. He was like, what's up, man? I was like, yo, big fan, DJ. He was like, yo, I'm going to Def Jam. If you want to smoke, come on. And I happened to say, I can't do it. I'm going the opposite way. And, you know, but it was incredible. Like, just stuff like that, that you'd be like, wow, I can't believe, you know, like, and he actually invited me, like, yo, I got a blunt. You want to smoke? Come on. I'm like, wow. You know, just imagine I would have went with him. You know, who knows what would have, you know, transformed from that. Like, oh, man, look at this. Like, it was incredible, man. It was a lot of incredible experiences. Wow. Like, I could tell you, like, it's incredible, man. It was incredible. I mean, like, my story still goes on, but the stuff that I went through those times was just like, wow. Like, I feel like they were legendary, honestly. Like who gets to meet these certain people and get to be in a room with certain people and they actually talking to you? Like, yo, what are you thinking? You like, me? You know, because you feel like you're the nobody in the room. So you feel like, why they ask? But you know, fine. And then you go from there. But it's nice, a lot of nice experiences, man. I can't even lie. My friend Rich Nice, I met so many rappers through Rich because they used to come see him. And like I said, he lived in the next building. So, I mean, like from Greg Nice, I mean, Trackmasters, Tone. I mean, it's just so many names. I can't even. And but one guy that I used to have a great time with was Greg Nice, because Rich used to always have this tendency of taking long to come downstairs. So one day I met Greg, you know, just like, oh, Greg Nice. And then, you know, we just talked, you know, on some. I was like, I'm a DJ, but, you know, and I was like, he's like, oh, I'm waiting for Rich. I was like, that's my man. And then we build every week. Greg used to come sit there and be like, yo, Luke, come on, come smoke with me. I used to be like, oh, all right. Then one day he comes over and he buys me a bag of weed himself when I guess when it was first starting the high grade stuff. He bought me a bag. Like, I was just like, he was like, yo, I got a gift for you. I was like, what do you mean you got a gift for me? I got a gift for you. And so one day I asked Rich Nice, I'm like, yo, why are your friend rappers so cool with me? He's like, because you never asked them for anything as a DJ. And they know you was a DJ because I told them, now, you remember my man Big Lou, he's a DJ. They were like, but he didn't ask me for nothing. And I was like, he was like, he's a really cool guy. He didn't, you know, it wasn't like I was trying to press them for drops, anything back then. I was just like, man, just to get to be next to somebody like this and be cool with them and build a relation and become friends was incredible. Like, so when I asked Rich, I was like, why nobody? He was like, everybody likes you, man. He said, because you didn't act like the regular norm DJ. You didn't, yo, I want, yo. It was just like, yo, what's up, man? And you know, and there was just regular conversation, building regular stuff. And so that's how I got really cool with Greg. But I met everybody through Rich, man. I met a lot. Oh my God, Joski Love. I mean, you name it. It's just names upon names upon names. The one up there was just incredible. So I was just like, wow. And like, I really got to get to know another guy was my man Hot Dog from Chubb Rock's dancer from the A-Team. Yeah, he's one of my guys now. We still like real good friends behind that, like real good friends.
One thing I like that you really said, that, you know, what stood out about you is that you didn't go in asking for stuff. You just went in and met people on a human level and just spoke to them and built meaningful relationships based on things that were common that you both guys loved, music, DJing, and the whole industry. And that's what it really takes, just going in and building a meaningful relationship based on commonalities between you and the people you're trying to build with. And that's what it's all about. Not going in, how could you figure out what can you get from them? You know, and it's even better when you can go in and say, oh, how can I help you? And be able to go in giving insight giving, you know, your time, your energy to helping, supporting people, and then you'll see that it comes right back to you. You know, out of all the stories that you told, did you have any specific moment that was the most special, that really stood out, that you just like, wow, that happened to me? And
I think the biggest, and I didn't actually get to go to Sway in the Morning because of the pandemic, but I think it was one of my biggest moments was me getting to do a mix. Because I know if it was open, I would have got the invite, because Rich Nice invited me. But he's like, it's your time. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, at least you can send your mix, because, you know, we're not there in the office, but send your mix. And so I thought it was like the greatest experience of my career, because, you know, Sway in the Morning, who's bigger than Sway in the Morning? Like, so it was great. And yeah, it was great. It was, you know, and then the introduction to the show was great. And then got to listen to my show. And then the feedback was incredible. And my friend Rich told me, he said, yo, Lou, you're going to get overwhelmed with this stuff that's coming to you. Prepare yourself. And I was like, come on, Rich, what are you talking about? He's like, Lou, I'm telling you. And wow, it was incredible, man. I mean, Rich was like, Rich is a pinnacle guy in my career, man. Like, he's a great friend. He's a great friend. I know him for like more than, I don't know, 30 years now. I don't know, maybe more. But he's a great friend. And I never took him for granted with anything. I never asked him for anything, like anything. Like, no music, nothing. Like, this is an executive. He even got me a job at Trackmaster, at Sony, when they did the Trackmaster, when they had the little label, and he did the stuff for Mary. I got to do the Mary Project and, you know, like, promote for the Mary Project. And, you know, it was nice. It was an experience. And, yeah, it's like I said, man, the path I, you know, I worked some promotions for Penalty, for Sony. I got to hang out with Nori. He's a great guy. Another crazy, those are crazy stories too. You know, it was just a lot of nice things just happening, which you're not even forcing it. You're not trying, you're not, oh, come on, let me get, I never asked no rapper for nothing unless I was going to labels and I would, even when I met Method Man, I could have asked him for a drop. I could have said anything to him. I didn't ask him for anything. I just was like, I'm a fan. And he's like, yo, take a walk, smoke. And I was like, I gotta go this way. I'm gonna go pick up records from Universal. He's like, okay, next time then. And I was like, wow, you know, just those moments like that, like, there was just like, wow, that's cool, man. Like, for them to act, you know, in those particular ways. Like, I mean, I met a lot of great people in my path. And it's nice that I could still say some of these guys are still, I could say my friends, like, because it was nice to, you know, build these relations and become friends. And yeah, man, it's nice. It's really nice. It's.
Wow, brother, you've been through a lot and it's super amazing.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Hear your story. Yeah, man, I would love to hear, you know, out of all the experiences you had with all these great influential people in the music industry, what was the most valuable learning lesson that you got out of the whole thing?
I guess what Rich told me in the beginning of my career, you know, that was, I think, most, you know, he was like, love what you do. Don't work for the money, because there's no money in the beginning, and let it come and enjoy. Just enjoy. He's like, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but you're going to have a great time doing what you do because you love what you do. And I think that was the most important, like, lesson in my life from the beginning. Like, and like, I have my inspirations now that still help me, you know, gear me up. And I go, yeah, this guy right here, he's, you know, my man, Eddie B. Swift. He's like one of the big, he's one of my biggest inspirations for the last, I don't know, 20 years, because I hang with him. He's like my brother, you know, we hang. And B. Swift is like, I don't know if you know the name, but the name is, you know, he's Be Real. He's opened up for Cypress. You know, he's a big name. And this is my brother. I can pick up the phone and be like, yo, E, what's up? And he's like, yo. And, you know, so it's great to have still people in those kind of, I guess, like Rich too. I could still pick up the phone. We working on stuff now. Like, he's like, I want you to get down with this. I want you to get down. And I'm like, whatever you need. Like, you know, I'm willing to, because I'm always willing to work. I'm always willing to, I don't never say, nah, I don't want to, come on. And even if it's a challenge, I'll be like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, why not? You know, what's the worst that can happen? Oh, we ain't like the way that sound. Okay, I'm sorry. Give me another try. You know what I'm saying? But what's the worst that can happen from, you know, challenges?
Yeah, man, that's important. And what's one piece of advice you can give to DJs? That's one of the most important things that they can do right now to live a somewhat, you know, similar lifestyle of you in your journey.
Most important, love what you do. Don't do it for the money. Basically what I say, well, Rich told me, like, just love what you do. Love the music, you know, love, you know, like have passion for what you do. Like any artist, you know, you love what you do. You're going to do it at your grandest format. You're going to be, you know, you're going to try your best to do this at biggest, you know. So, you know, I think that's love what you do. Take your time. Don't rush nothing. Just do it. Like, just, it's not like a race. Just take your time with it. Where are you going? Just, you know, eventually the calls will come. Eventually you'll get the calls and your friend will be like, I want you to do this. And I want you, you know, it'll start coming. And then, you know, depending on what kind of DJ are you, you know, you go the mixtape route. You can still do the parties. You can still do the events. You could, I mean, there's so many avenues for DJs nowadays. It's like, it's crazy. So I think it's a lot of places where DJs could take it. It depends on what kind of DJ they want to be. But, you know, like me, I'll be trying to be doing, I try to do, honestly, I'm trying to do everything. I'm trying to do everything. I'll be like, they be like, yo, I'll be like, come on, I could do it. They be like, dude, you don't. I'll be like, I could do it. It's music. I could play music. Give me a chance. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, man, it's been a hell of a ride. Yeah. I enjoyed it from day one. Yes.
Yeah, I can hear it, man.
I can tell you, man. I'm at least, you know, whatever questions you got, but I'm just,
yeah, saying, like, I can hear it, man. The excitement is really, yes, great, man, yes, to hear.
It's,
and
it's a beautiful ride. It's been a great ride. It's, and then like the last 6-7 years now, my girl, it's been like my back support. My girl JoJo, she's like, you could do that. I do 15 radio stations right now.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they be like, yo, Lou, how you? I be like, you know what? Well, some of them is not all live. So it's all some of them is pre-recorded. So what you do is just send shows. But for you to be on so many shows, so many stations, it's like, wow, how are you? I'm like, well, you know, even before the pandemic, I was just here. Don't really hang out no more. Not really into the, so trying to find something constructive to do with my time at the crib.
Wow.
So I was just, yeah, like, let me just work it out. And then eventually I'm now got my own little station too. But, you know, it's just like, come on, man. Like,
wow, man, you are a hardworking brother. And I really appreciate you sharing this. Yes, you're setting an example for DJs out there. If you follow the example of my brother DJ Big Lou 163, work hard and just do what you love. You will see prosperity and success as a DJ. So thank you, brother. This has been a great interview. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Oh, yes, definitely. Let's go.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Software, Serato, laptop, hardware. I guess you mean like turntables? Turntables, 1200, CDJs. Yeah, I'm from old school, so I still got the old stuff and I got the new stuff. So, you know, trying to stay active, trying to stay, you know, with the times. I'm trying to stay with the times, so I'm with everything. I got everything.
Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ. It has to be Eddie B. Swift. It has to be. That guy is incredible. Like, if you listen to him, you're going to be like, wow, okay. I see why you say that. Oh, but my favorite? Yes, my favorite. Oh, my favorite all time is Kid Capri, of course. Like, that's just one of the guys, man. Like, you know.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and what made it special?
Okay, you said keep it professional, so I'm going to try to keep it PG. I did a party at Debbie Gibson's house, upstate New York. Incredible. It stood over to the next day. A lot of stuff going on in this party. Like, if you know what I mean, like a lot of stuff was going on. So, it's a July 4th party. It has to be my biggest party, most memorable party. Coming home, the limo driver almost crashed because he's falling asleep behind the wheel. But yeah, it was crazy. I went from one day, I came home the next afternoon. Forget about the morning. I came home the next afternoon. I couldn't even go to sleep. I went and got a haircut, fell asleep on the barbershop. But it was because I wanted to tell people this. Yo, it was, the people still talk about it to this day. Like, yo, Lou, remember that part? Yeah. So yes, Debbie Gibson's house, upstate New York, July 4th. I can't really tell you the year, in the 90s, 96, 97, I don't know. Incredible though, incredible. Could have been 95, I don't know. It's just incredible.
Name some of the best places to party in your city.
Oh, best places to party in my city. Well, you got downtown, midtown, you know, everything's down there. Or the big clubs, you know, I mean, I used to go to Studio. I used to go to Tunnel. I used to go to Emerald City. I mean, these were the spots. Now, I don't know, I can't really call it, but then these were the spots, the big spots, the Limelight, you know, the, these were the havens. These were the big places to have fun. You know, these were the spots.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
What's missing? Well, that's a good question. Wow, that's a very good question. What's missing from live stream DJs? Oh, well, yeah, I guess that's, you know, censoring stuff. Like, if they could stop censoring stuff, you know, I do a I get on Facebook Live and they shut me down, you know. And then you're on Twitch. Twitch is nice, but then the replay, you don't get to hear some songs. So I guess the censorship, that's, they need to like cut that out. Like, let people, we're not hurting you. We just helping you. Because people actually go, who's that? What's his name? Slimmy Shazamin? Oh, I'm gonna go buy his stuff. You know, it's, I think it's a win-win when you got a DJ playing all kind of stuff and people get to learn some new stuff. So it's just, I think it's a win-win for me personally, you know. But yeah, censorship, cut that out. We need to cut that out. If that's what we need or whatever, yeah, that's what we need. To censorship to stop, you know, labels to stop acting like we're taking from the artists, because we're not taking nothing from them. And we're just playing it, not selling it. We're just playing the music.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
DJ Donald personally, okay, so yeah. Eddie B. Swift, of course, Rhythm, the Music Man, Legendary Showtime, Manhattan's Murder Man, DJ Homicide, Devo the Pro from Double R. These are the guys I still have a relationship with. And I'm trying to think. My man Mecca, he's a, I guess got him, his name, his interview from, I don't know, because I know when I seen his interview, it's when you hit me after that. So I don't know if it was because of him, but Mecca is a good brother. So I think I said everybody.
Awesome.
Yeah, my man Lou, my partner, of course, now, because since I'm legally disabled, this guy helps me with my parties. And so I appreciate him the most, my man Lou. And I call him DJ Loco, and because he's a crazy guy. And my man Little Louie. I mean, it's a lot of guys I could name, but yeah, those are the guys for me.
Awesome. Yeah, you can check out DJ Demeca on episode 73. And brother, it was great speaking with you. Anyone that wants to be on the show, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Instagram, DJ Big Lou. Everything is DJ Big Lou. Oh, no, wait, sorry. Everything is DJ Big Lou 163. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, you name it, LinkedIn. I mean, you name it. I always tell people when they be like, yo, I can't find you, be like, Google me. You're going to see me. Believe me, because I'm not just a DJ Big Lou. I'm a 163 guy, so it'll come out different. So if you write 163, you'll be like, oh, okay, Lou, I see you. I never, like, you know, it's not really hard. I don't mean to sound like, oh, I'm the guy. No, I'm just saying, yo, look, if you Google me, you'll find me. You can't find me no other way. You Google me, people will find me. Believe me. That's what I tell people. That's I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. And I just be like, yo, Google me. Cause I know people, when they do that, they be like, oh, Google me. Like, no, you can't find me because you can't find no social media for me. Then Google me and watch you go, oh, they go Lou right there. Like one of those kind of things, you know what I'm saying? Like,
awesome, man. Hey, this has been a super exciting interview, man. I love your energy. I love everything you're doing, your passion for DJing.
I got the gear too, man. I just need to say that too. I got the gear. I have to, Dead End Boys Apparel. I had to, cause I know it's one of those kind of things, you know, but I had to, I'm sorry.
No, that's good, man. I'm here to promote you and all DJs. So everything that you got, we'd love for you to share, man. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Everyone, check out my brother, DJ Big Lou 163, an amazing brother with an amazing story. So thank you so much for spending time with us today. And we look forward to seeing you in the club, brother.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.